Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Eon Zients, you know, I should have known that you would know exactly what beret to wear to a Berg Vivant interview.
Oh, thank you. You know, it's summer, so of course I wore the light color.
Oh, you're very good.
I have dark, and I have the winter berets as well.
So is this truly the mark of a producer?
I think it's the mark of this producer.
Yeah, it's a trademark.
I think when I go into my bank, the guard, a bald-headed fellow also, shaved head, named Gilbert, says to me, "Lights, camera, banking." And so I go in and I bank in my beret.
No, yeah, I think it really completes the motif. You know, I now had to compete, so I've brought my Berg Vivant.
Lovely.
What do you think? Is this? Can I match you in style?
I'm not sure you're not Spanky.
Well, that's Spanky.
Gang, but
wait a minute. You know what?
Or Fievel from American Tail.
Oh, that is going back.
Yeah,
that is taking me
back. It's a good look.
Yeah?
Yeah, mine doesn't have the little thing on the top.
See?
Yeah.
Now, this is more of a winter beret.
Yeah, yeah. But, so you may sweat in the studio. But other than that, you're looking good.
Now, what do you think? Do you kind of have a jaunty little...
Right, right. So, well, with these berets, which I really enjoy, you can do like back, or you could do Pantaleano.
Yeah.
What's his face? The actor Pantaleano.
Paul Prudhomme as well.
Right, and so when I'm feeling a little risque, I pull to the left. But generally, I dress to the right.
What do you think says Brian Edward? What do you think?
Well, you've got that great hair. You know, I mean, look I have little left.
So maybe show a little bit.
Show a little of your hair.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'll hide all of my non.
All right.
There we go.
Kind of like this.
We look good.
Yeah.
All right.
I think...
Or you could be a professor.
People look at the and be like, these people have to be in the arts, right?
That's I get that a lot, you know. They don't look at me and think, lawyer. They look at me and think, oh, you must do something in the arts. I said, yo, my other day job.
There's something about a beret.
There is. It's wonderful.
And I think you're going to bring them back. So,
and you can speak French.
Oh?
English with a French accent. You make speak de French, you know, you make that accent.
And people buy it? Because I don't actually speak French.
Nobody buys anything I say.
Well, it's going to be a fun 20 minutes here with you. So, producer of Front Porch Theatricals.
One of three, yes.
Yeah. Now, this is a relatively new company.
We are. We started in 2005. We did our first show in... our first production was in 2009 at the Kelly Strayhorn, a locally written, and produced by my partner Bruce Smith and I, called Only Me, and it starred Chris Latta and Jim Scriven and Ted Watt and Christina McCann, and I was fortunate enough to play the father, and Mindy Rossi Staehler wrote it. We had a good time, and we didn't fail as producers, and so we thought perhaps we can do this going forward, and I hooked up with Justin Fortunato and Bobby Neumeier to do Into the Woods and Ragtime. And then we decided that maybe we could help them out, Bruce and I. And so we thought maybe we can produce you. And so we did with Next to Normal and with In the Heights. And then we went our own way, and we've been producing the three of us with my wife Nancy ever since.
Yeah, you and Nancy are like the Luntz, or the Margin Gower champion of Pittsburgh. Do you get that?
That's kind of fun. I like that.
Yeah.
And then what would Bruce be?
Bruce.
He's Bruce. And I have to tell you, and this is, I don't know if this is embarrassing, but our director for Spitfire Girl and Floyd Collins, our upcoming show, Rachel Stevens, said to Nancy and I one night at the end of a rehearsal when we had once again asked, is there anything we can get for you? Is there anything you need? Is there anything we're not providing? She goes, this is the Jewiest company I've ever worked for. I said, yeah, that may be our next tagline, is two Jews and a wasp.
Now what does that mean exactly? I mean, just
I don't think it means anything bad. I think it means that we are about as caring, considerate, loving. We wrap our hands around everyone that works with us, and you know, we adopt 12, 15 interns for every production, and we become a family. So we refer to ourselves as the Front Porch family. So if you've worked for Front Porch, if you have been in a Front Porch production, you're family. You're on a different mailing list, and we're going to hit you up for different things than we hit up the general public.
So how did the company get its name?
Well, that's interesting, because it came from my partner, Bruce Smith. He's a Swickley a resident, and his children grew up here. His son, Peter Matthew Smith, starred on Broadway in 5 different shows.
I didn't know that was the connection.
That's the Smith.
Wow, gotcha.
And so Peter,
it's a common name, so I wouldn't connect it right away.
Peter did Mamma Mia. He was with Hairspray from the very beginning and ran that for quite a while. He took time off from Hairspray to go be Muttle in Harvey Fierstein's production of Fiddler.
Yeah.
And he also, I think he made it to Broadway as a swing in Rent. He'd been out on tour playing both Mark and Roger.
I remember reading that.
And he made it to Broadway, and he played both of those roles on Broadway.
Wow.
And so Peter and his sister Amy, also an actress, they grew up putting shows on the front porch in their house in Swickley. They had a big wraparound front porch. And so Bruce said, when we had to come up with a name, what are we going to put on the banner? And he said, well, how about Front Porch Theatricals? And I said, how about No Thumbs Productions? Because I wanted to use a paw print as our emblem.
What?
Well, dogs don't have thumbs. So No Thumbs Productions and a paw print.
But what's that have to do with theater?
Nothing. And that's why we chose Front Porch Theatricals.
I like Bruce's idea. I gotta tell you.
Well, he has a lot of good ones.
Yeah.
You know?
Front porch. I have had many productions on my front porch. They usually involve a jug with 3 X's, you know, and moonshine and whatnot. Right. Right.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
But I mean, the company in 5 years,
and just has
established a great reputation, and you kind of do maybe like 2 shows a season, right?
We do. Last year we started doing 2 shows a season. Before that, we had done 1. We did Parade. We did. We did Parade, and then the next year we decided to expand to 2 shows, and we did the next 5 years, or the last 5 years, and
that's a sequel, though.
That's right. Jamie and what's his name? Get back together.
Yeah.
And then in time, but then we did The Light in the Piazza. So that was our second show of our first 2-show season, and then this year we're continuing that, and we hope. One day going forward, that we'll be able to do at least 3.
Yeah.
I think Bruce and I both have to retire because we're doing 2 full-time jobs at the same time.
Yeah.
And that can be a bit stressful.
Well, there's something to that, you know, doing fewer shows, but doing them really, really well, which seems to be...
And that is our goal. And that's something we actually learned from Justin Fortunato, is that we raise the bar on every component of the production. They helped us see that everything has to be top notch, and so we push to get the very best lights with Andy Ostrowski, and wonderful sound development with Angela Bachman. She's up and coming, so we want to mix both our anchors of really, really established talent from Pittsburgh with this emerging talent from Pittsburgh as well. Mm. And so we find that the balance between our more established skills and our up and coming with our production team and our directors. Particularly directors, choreographers, and music directors. Although we've had wonderful music directors in Doug Levine and Camille of Villapando-Rolla and especially Dina Muro, who is just a hoot and a half, and they make everything we do better. And so we're striving to maintain that level of excellence across all departments.
So it's a big part of the mission of the company to utilize Pittsburgh talent.
Absolutely, absolutely. One of our foundation funders has called us, and we really like it, Pittsburgh's Boutique Professional Musical Theater Company.
That's great.
And we love it. We love it. It is in our mission to engage Pittsburgh-trained or Pittsburgh-located actors to enhance them, to not keep them from leaving, because New York and L.A. and Chicago are exciting things to do and to achieve, but to always give them a place to land, and maybe to keep them here for a couple years longer so they're actually doing the work and maybe being seen and doing something at PICT or doing something at the Public. You know, a lot of our actors thus far have gone on to greater things on Broadway, on NBC. You know, the fellow that played the lead in Next to Normal opened this past Monday, August 1st, as Fiero in Wicked. Michael Campagno. And so we're very excited that we're able to see all this great Pittsburgh talent from our tremendous universities, our conservatories, and really help enhance them. We don't feel like we're making them, but we feel like they help make us.
Yeah. Well, the talent's here. You know, and I think maybe even more so than 20 years ago.
I think for sure. And Point Park is, and Carnegie Mellon, these conservatory programs where these kids come out knowing what to do in an audition, in rehearsals, at the table, how to work with discipline and still have a good time. I learn, as an actor, I learn constantly from everything that I watch, and I like to go to rehearsals and just absorb it. Speaking of absorbing, I'm a little dry. Do you mind if I have a bit of this martini?
That is why it's there, Leon.
I just feel like
we're
missing it.
Pace yourself. This is, we make them strong here.
Oh.
Mm.
Yeah. Was it shaken or stirred?
Both, actually, because I dropped it on the way over. But
a mixed drink.
Yes, that's it. Now, you mentioned acting. Do you yourself get to ever get out from behind the producer's desk and perform?
Well, I do as often as I can, but I don't perform for my company, for our company, because
they've got taste.
Well, they're a good judge of talent, and there's a lot of very, very good talent in Pittsburgh that one has to compete with. Mm-hmm. I do shows with Stage 62. I have my one Leon show that I take to senior centers and synagogues.
Wait a minute, what?
Yeah, my one Leon show.
Is that what it's called?
Well, that's what I started calling it recently. It was like Leon Sings Broadway. Leon does Broadway classics and more. And I thought, well, it's just a one Leon show, so let's just call it that.
So it's kind of, all I'm picturing is the career of, oh God, what's it from Waiting for Guffman, dentist at the end.
Well, I can't remember his name.
Pittsburgher. Yeah. But no, he goes to the nursing, he goes to Miami.
Yeah.
Dr. Pearl is the character.
Sure. Flaherty.
Huh?
Is that his name, Flaherty?
His actual name. No, that's another guy from Second City. Why can't we think of this guy's name? People watching this are going to be like, it's...
Yeah, well, we're stupid.
Yeah, why? It's one of those things.
But anyhow, yes. It's... maybe we should have a second.
So, Leon Zients Sings Broadway and more. So what
I do Sinatra. We do Sinatra, Cole Porter. I mean, the people that like to hear me sing, because I don't have a voice for contemporary theater. I have more of a classic, so I've done some. I've done a number of shows with the Savoyards as the Patter Baritone. And that's a wonderful, fun thing to do. And I've done a couple of shows, just a couple, with the Undercroft Opera.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I have this one Leon thing. And then whenever I can find a show that needs a 58-year-old bald actor with baritone, that I go for it.
Kojak the Musical.
Kojak the Musical, although I was thinking The King and I, 1, 2, 3, and...
Oh, yeah, that would probably be the most obvious
choice. I'd have to drop it away.
Kojak.
I would 1, 2, 3, and yeah.
So can we book you for parties?
Oh, absolutely,
all right,
absolutely.
That's good to know.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Plug for you.
I was thinking about writing a new show with just. I love the music from college and beyond. Jim Croce, Harry Chapin, Cat Stevens.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think maybe I could put together a show for that, but I don't know if the old people want to hear me sing that.
Well, we're all getting older, so that's, sooner or later there will be old people that would be into that.
But could you just imagine someone my age singing Stairway to Heaven at a senior center?
I can't. with the beret and everything, I mean, it would... Yeah. It's a comedy.
I would rather do Thank Heaven for Little Girls, Little Marie Chevalier or something like that.
Well, this is something, I never did. The one Leon show. I hope to catch it.
Well, I hope to do it more frequently.
At a 3 p.m. happy hour at Country Meadows. That'd be great. So we do get to see on stage from time to time. Producing is your capacity with Front Porch. So
correct.
As a producer, what lights you up the most about that?
I really love the process. I mean, it's so exciting to be part of a creative team. And as an actor, and I've said this out loud, so I guess I can say it for posterity, but it's really easy just to be an actor.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get to come in and things are set up for you. Do we have to go?
Am
I being run off?
Yes, this was fascinating.
Very good, thank you so much.
Yeah.
But as an actor, you get to do that and focus on a very hard job. As a producer, you get to focus on what the actors are doing, what the director is creating, what all of the various departments are having to do and collaborating. And you see this process of making magic. And it's very exciting. I never thought I would want to be a producer. I want to perform. I want to sing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But in point of fact, the ability to let others do that also and better and to evolve and emerge their careers and to make people in Pittsburgh see what Pittsburgh has to offer in terms of our talent, mm. what our universities are putting out. Peter Cook, the head of CMU, has been very gracious with us. Both of the universities have been very gracious, and I thanked him one day for his actors, and he said to me, he said in a great Australian accent, he said, "Don't thank me for what we're doing. You're hiring our actors. Mm-hmm. You're employing them. You're keeping them in Pittsburgh. You are making this work. You know, to be a trained actor is to be ready to be a barista or something." To be a working actor is really glorious.
Yeah.
And we have in Pittsburgh now, we have a lot of working actors. And we so that's what excites me the most. Creating things is cool. Seeing magic arise out of imagination is very cool. But knowing what we're doing for both our actors, for our interns, mm-hmm. everybody gets paid except the producers. You know, we do this as a labor of love. But we do it, you know, our hearts are all in the right place.
And again, the shows are always fantastic, and
Thank you. Seems
like you're always choosing things that productions, musicals that are socially relevant.
That's what we're. That's our goal. Is we don't have anything against Annie. Well, we may have a little bit against Annie.
Could be socially relevant.
Or Oklahoma, or well, it depends if some robber baron makes the White House. Perhaps.
Oh.
Perhaps we'll see that yeah. sort of wealth and power it concentrated in one man again. But no, we. We like what we're doing. We're very excited about having had this opportunity and to create something new in an industry where you fail after 1 or 2 years usually, or not usually, but quite possibly because it's hard.
Yeah, and you've succeeded after 1 or 2.
Well, the foundations have been great.
So you've got to keep going. I mean, you don't have a choice.
Nope, we don't.
You know, and you've got something good. So coming up, August 26th through September 4th. You have Floyd Collins.
Floyd Collins, our second show of our American Dreamers season.
Which is a musical about a guy stuck in a mine. So they will make a musical about anything these days.
They will. And it doesn't have a real happy ending, although it has a glorious ending, because Floyd finds glory. It's written by Adam Gettle, the grandson of Richard Rodgers, who also wrote The Light in the Piazza, our production mm-hmm. from last year.
Yep.
And very well received, and gorgeous, gorgeous music. The guy writes operas, and it's music directed by Doug Levine, who knows how to get everything out of a band and then these superbly trained and actors.
Mm-hmm.
They sing wonderfully, and they're doing even better because of Doug's input. Floyd Collins is an interesting story because it takes place in 1925. It's a real story. You can Wikipedia it. If you have a really long memory, you may recall hearing it in 1925 over KDKA radio because it was broadcast back then. It was the first major media circus between the world wars. It's the story because it could be told to a national audience for almost the very first time. When Floyd was trapped underground, it became national news. Movie crews came in to film what was happening. This family tragedy occurring below ground was accompanied by a carnival above ground. Everything that Floyd kind of wanted, if he found the cave and was able to build up Cave City into a place, was happening for the wrong reason, because there was a man trapped, there was a family suffering a tragedy, and yet above ground there were barkers and there were hawkers and there were people coming from all over the country, and it was news from Seattle all the way into southern Florida. And so this and mainly because of the advent of radio,
yeah
it captured the nation's attention.
Yeah, it's just a story that I never would dream to put to music.
Yeah,
but it works.
They did it at Point Park in 2002, I believe. We try not to do a lot of, a part of our mission again is to do shows that have not been done a lot in Pittsburgh.
Mm.
And this is one that satisfies that. My wife and I saw it up at the Shaw Festival in Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, and we're just blown away by both its simplicity, its depth, and the beauty of the music.
Mm.
And all of these singers that we have, these fine actors who are singers, they do it. And we're sure that they'll do it for the audience.
So maybe not a show for those with claustrophobia.
It's funny you should say that, because when we try not to do video interviews. So if anyone watching this wants to audition for us next year, we shy away from that, but we will accept them on occasion. So our Danny McHugh, who is out on tour, he sent in a video audition, and I watched it, and I got claustrophobic. Just watching this man on a cruise ship where he was on tour, standing up against the wall and doing Floyd's first, you know, lines when he gets trapped in the cave. And my heart started racing. And an actor, and this is just against the yellow wall. And so when the audience sees this, they'll feel it too. Mm-hmm. But they're in the spacious and comfortably seated Hazlett Theater.
Yes.
And they will be able to breathe.
But you've got a very clever director, Rachel Stevens, that will make us feel like we are trapped underground with Floyd.
Rachel will make us feel that. She'll make us, I know that she will make us see the cave as Floyd discovers it. Mm. I don't want to give too much away, but the creativity of this of our set designer, Lindsay Mayer, and of Andy Ostrowski, our lighting designer, and Rachel in her vision of how she wants this to be. Front Porch is known for minimal sets. We're really trying to sell the story. We want the audience to bring its imagination as well. But we do have a bit of a set. It's unique. And I think as it is created in front of the audience's eyes, they will feel as if they are discovering a cave as well.
Hmm.
And it will be very exciting.
So a show like that, again, it's, I go back to the concept that it's something quirky to kind of put in terms of a musical, but I imagine that this story told this way gives a lot of opportunity to challenge a director,
sure,
to challenge designers as far as how to physically tell this story of a guy trapped in a mine.
Absolutely, and particularly since the actor trapped in the mine is trapped. I mean, he's not moving a whole lot. And I think he has 7 songs. I mean, it's not as if we bury him and
so
just ignore him.
It's a light choreography duty, right?
Well, and again, another beautiful thing about this director, and our choreographer, Olivia Owen, is that Rachel is all about movement. Something that Nancy and I see at the Shaw Festival is there's no gaps between scenes. There's no lights down.
Yeah.
The sound of furniture being moved and lights up. So everything is fluid. Everything is cohesive. And as we saw with our last production of the Spitfire Grill, where the set was on wheels and it became many different things, and it always, you knew what you were looking at. This will be the same. This will be actors making sounds on stage. All of the sounds of the cave will be made by actors.
Hmm.
The actors will be part of the physical space and also helpers along the way. So it's different. And but the way that Rachel sees these things, and the way that she both communicates them to her actors, which is perfect, and the way that she gets them to see her vision and then realize it, is exciting. Again, as a producer and as an audience, they're gonna be blown away. I know this. And it's funny, at Front Porch we say, you know, we know we've succeeded when casting is over, because the cast is so good, the director is so good, the team is so good, that critics may not like it because they don't like the subject matter, they don't like the story, but they're not gonna not like it because it wasn't well done.
Hmm.
That's how we feel going in.
So Floyd is trapped down there by himself.
All by himself.
Now see, that would probably be one of the most terrifying things for me. Not because, like, oh, I'm trapped in mine, because I constantly need validation. So if there's nobody down there, that's what would make it tough for me.
Well, I mean, maybe a friendly bat.
Yeah.
A slug going by. Hey, how you doing?
So, well, you're never really alone then, are you?
That's another show. but what happens with Floyd is that he doesn't come up one night, right? And so his family, up on surface, say, he's got himself trapped in a cave again. You know, who's going to go in and get him this time? And so, you know, well, his brother's out of town doing something, and the little fella, he's a little bit afraid. He's a little, but the bottom line is they did get people down to him, and they were able to string lights down to him, bare white light bulbs for heat, because it was cold and he was trapped and he was starving and he was thirsty. And so they managed a way to get him, to keep him alive for 17 days, to have him be interviewed by this Stringer reporter, a thin, skinny guy named Skeets Miller. And he got that name because he's small like a mosquito. And so...
Wait, is Skeets in the show? Yeah!
Oh, yes,
Ryan Bergman plays Skeets Miller.
Yeah,
okay.
Ryan's in it, and he's delightful. And well, they all are. I love this cast. We have loved all of our casts. It was easier to remember the names of our cast in the last 5 years because there are only two. But these are very talented people.
Now, how do you think you yourself would cope with being in Floyd's situation?
I would try to either chew my leg off or hold my breath till I died.
Jeez, Leon!
I couldn't. There is no way. I mean, flying on a 12-hour airplane flight gives me, you know, the heebie-jeebies. I would never climb beyond where I could see the light of the cave opening. You know, and I was an adventuresome kid. I grew up in Ogilvie Park. We climbed into all kind of things. But I would never go beyond the first corner, ever. No, it's not me.
Yeah, those plane rides are something. But yeah, I think that might be a good concept for a musical, is you want a transatlantic flight.
Perhaps.
You know, what would Leon do?
Snakes on a Plane, the musical.
Yeah, I can't. I'm sure somebody's tried to pitch it.
Yeah. Well, if Disney had made it, then they turned it into a musical.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Frozen 2 and Frozen and all this. Would you ever do Frozen? Would Front Porch ever
I wonder if it's socially relevant enough.
Well, a case could be made by some Hooked on fans.
But I think I might be afraid that a reviewer might say, Front Porch Theatricals, Frozen the Musical. Let it go.
Don't go.
Yeah, don't go. So you know, it would be great if we could create, as we did with our very first show, a new musical, a new work.
Mm-hmm.
And I belong to the Pittsburgh Musical Theater Artists of Pittsburgh, MTAP.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that is encouraging collaborations for new groups. And I think that if someone came up with something, or if we could create something, I would love to see that process move through and forward.
Berets,
the musical.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's about guys like us.
Uh-huh. Looking that, good.
Well, yeah. I mean, no kidding. I mean, I wouldn't be pitching this to you.
Am I allowed to sit close and we look good?
Yeah. That's going to be the
yeah, it
the
should
shot
be. Yeah.
Right there. Oh, yeah. You know, I can see it. You know,
uh-huh.
It does. This is the way. Yeah.
Well, sure.
Wait, what Dutch boy? What is it? Was it paint?
Well, you got to stick your finger in it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well... just save me some editing and stop there.
I'm well ahead of you, so
I know
you're probably much more cogent than I am at this point.
We'll be putting out lyrics for Berets the Musical.
Uh-huh.
But great, we are looking forward to seeing Floyd Collins at the New Hazlet, August 26th through September 4th, directed by Rachel Stevens, produced by Front Porch Theatricals.
That's us. That's it.
Leon, it has been a pleasure talking with my beret brother. It's from brim to brim.
Brim to brim.
I salute you.
I tip my chapeau at you. Yeah. Well, I can't do that.
What do you do with a ship with one of these? You do
beret?
Jiggle my beret?
I think you just kind of, you know. Yeah, we can do that. For sure.
In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Berg-Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Berg-Vivant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvivant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.